You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Hello, everyone. I am your host today, Brianna Helt, on the Just Showing Up radio show here at Breadbox Media. Thanks all for tuning in on this weekend. I have a weekend radio show, which I don't know. Do many people listen on the weekend? I don't know. So, thanks for hanging out with me. You could probably be, you know, outside doing any number of things, like mowing your lawn. But here you are. Maybe you're listening while you're mowing your lawn. There's an idea. It's a good mowing the lawn show to listen to. Anyway, I'm your host, Brianna Helt. As I mentioned, if you don't know me, I am a writer. I'm a blogger. I blog at www.briannahelt.com. You can also find my writing on the National Catholic Register. And hey, and I'm here. I'm a radio show host. Again, thanks for tuning in. So every week, I kind of like to start the show with like a recap of my week. I have some stuff I definitely want to talk about today, a little later. Hello, Donald Trump. Are you tired of hearing about Donald Trump? I'm so sick of hearing about this election. And I actually really like politics. I used to work in politics, and there's something I just really love about all the drama and the, I don't know, just the inner workings of it all, I guess. But anyway, I am just so sick to death of all this arguing and fighting I see on social media regarding this election. So I want to talk about that and talk a little bit about what is happening. And I'm a Catholic, so, you know, a lot of Catholics are, many Catholics would maybe typically vote for the more conservative candidate or for a Republican candidate, but I am seeing a lot of people either saying that they are going to abstain from voting, or they're going to do a write-in, or they're going to vote for Sanders or Clinton, whichever one locks in the nomination. So anyway, we should talk about that today, because everybody else is talking about that. And while you're out mowing your lawn, I don't know, you should be hearing about Donald Trump. Maybe it will impassion you to mow your lawn even faster. I don't know. More aggressively, because it's just all so maddening. So I definitely want to talk some about that. I also want to talk about, and this has like nothing at all whatsoever to do with politics, but I want to talk about fear, and in particular fear when we're talking about doing something, maybe doing something for God, or doing something you know is good, but the fear that comes with it. And more specifically, I guess, related to the subjects of adoption and foster care. And basically, I got an email this week. It was a great email, and it was an email from a blog reader of mine who has considered foster care, considered foster adopt. They already have adopted children, and they're afraid of losing, they're afraid of it being difficult. They're, you know, fearful of, you know, struggles the child might have or what have you, which is absolutely a legitimate and normal and very healthy concern that everybody should really be considering, that's looking into that. But then just talking about the fear of losing community, or of not having community, because that's something that's important to them. But they fear losing their Catholic community, because that community isn't necessarily, you know, there aren't necessarily other couples raising kids from hard places or kids that have challenges. And I don't know. It just, the email really got me thinking. And I think it's a great thing to talk about. And I myself, if you don't know my story or know about me, so I have 8 children. I'm pregnant with number 9. I am only 34 years old. Only. I feel so old. Anyway, but, and you know, so now you're wondering, wow, how does she have that many kids by 34 years old? So I'm pregnant with my 5th biological child. Okay. So, my husband and I have 4 daughters that were born to us, and we're pregnant with, biological daughter number 5. We only produce girls apparently. But we also have 4 adopted children. We have adopted twin sons. They are 11 years old. We also have 2 adopted daughters, and our 2 adopted daughters, they actually both have Down syndrome. One just turned 9. The other is about to turn 7. And so, so we have 4 adopted children, and they're just fantastic kids, all 4 of them. They inspire me in countless ways. But so, you know, I've been around like the adoption community, and then of course my Catholic community, and we've been doing this adoption thing for a while now. My sons have been in our family for they've been in our family now for 10 years, over 10 years, actually 10 and a half years. So we've been on this journey of parenting adopted children, parenting kids from hard places for a little over 10 years now. And I feel like there is such a crazy learning curve with this, and it can be incredibly challenging. I feel like I've learned a lot. And one of the things that I feel like I've learned the most in those years of parenting my adopted children, and really just parenting in general, my oldest is 12 years old. So I've been at this parenting thing for, you know, 12-ish years. But I think one thing I've kind of learned is that fear makes everything 10 times more difficult. And I don't know if, you know, it just, when we're afraid, I think we, when we're afraid, you know, I'm sorry if, I don't know if you just heard like a weird noise. I'm getting like Facebook notifications because my Facebook window's open. So sorry. I also had to take, a phone call. This is not good. Sorry. Anyway, I think that fear can paralyze. It can prevent you from being at your best or from doing the right things with your kids. And it really can come in the way of having a positive relationship with your children, particularly if your children struggle with certain things that maybe you might take for granted otherwise. So all of that to say, we've got to talk about Trump, and we've got to talk about this idea of fear, and how it relates to living out our faith, I guess, for God. Or, you know, I don't know where you're at in your own spiritual journey. I say that at some point every week because I do not take it for granted that every one of my listeners is a Catholic, is a Christian, is on the same page as me. I welcome any and all listeners. Just please be nice if you contact me, which you are more than welcome to do. But anyway, just wanting to talk about fear and kind of how we can overcome that, or why it's important to at least work at or work through it, I guess. So for the next couple minutes, though, I would like to, I'll just recap the week around here. I am recording my show today again down in the dungeon. It's the lowest level of our house. We call it the basement. And we have a sign on the wall that says "Beat the Dealer," which was left here by the prior owner. And this is probably the least inspiring room in the entire Denver metro area. But hey, it works, right? It works. So I'm down here recording. It's been a good week. It's been a crazy week. We're wrapping up the school year. I am so ready to be done with the school year. I cannot even tell you. I used to be a homeschooler. When people hear that I have a large family, they're like, "Oh, do you homeschool?" Heck no. I used to, and I have nothing but love for homeschooling families. It was a great fit for our family for a time. Anyway, my kids go to school now. I have 7 school age kids, ranging, so they're about to finish up kindergarten up through 6th grade. And so it's like putting them in school took such a burden off of me. But there are things I miss about the homeschool life, like not being beholden to people, you know, your kid not getting like falsely accused of something at school, where they were like proven innocent, but the poor kid was like so traumatized by getting called to the office to talk about it. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, right? You got to deal with stuff when your kids are in school. So I'm ready for the year to be over where my kids can run around outside and we can be home and just kind of do our own thing. So we are wrapping up the school year. We've got this crazy soccer season going on right now where like half our practices and game, and more than half the games, I think, have been canceled due to snow and rain, which is insane. But hey, springtime in Denver. Anyway, listen, we will be right back. I am Brianna Help, and this is Just Showing Up on Redbox Media.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Brianna Held, your host of Just Showing Up on Breadbox Media. Thanks again to all of you who are listening this weekend. I was just giving a little recap of my week, you know, like a day in the life. We are wrapping up the school year, thank goodness. Although, I mean, I gotta say, back to that, I don't know, there's pros and cons with that too, because to be honest, you know, so I mentioned I have 8 kids. I'm pregnant with number 9, and it's like, on the one hand, when they're at school, when the 7 kids are at school that go to school, you know, it's like I've gotten used to my quiet mornings, and I sit like this, you know, this past Friday morning I sat and I put my feet up, but I had a cup of coffee and got caught up on some emailing, and you know, it's just, I love the pace of my day, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And then summer's a change, right? Because everybody's home. But I love it too. Summer is so much fun, and I'm getting pretty excited about it. My baby's due in June, so June 17th. So that's obviously something to look forward to. And we have a pool. We are owners of an in-ground backyard. It's a beautiful pool. The house used to be owned by, like, 2 owners ago. It was owned by I guess a landscaper. So the pool is done like this natural looking, I don't know, there's like rocks. This friend of mine jokes and says it totally looks like something that, I don't know, would be at like the Playboy Mansion or something. I don't know, because it's like got natural rocks and I don't know. Anyway, it's a pretty nice pool. It needs some maintenance, I'll say that. Some of the tiles are like falling off. But anyway, all of that to say, it, you know, it's not why we bought the house, but it came with the house, and my kids, it has been the greatest thing for our family. It is hard to haul 8 children to a public pool. And I mean, we actually, ironically, we do go to a neighborhood swimming pool 4 mornings a week in the summer because I have kids that swim on a swim team. But I mean, my younger kids or my kids that aren't in lessons or whatever, you know, they're just hanging out with me during practice. They're not in the pool. So all of that to say, it's like a lot of effort to haul that many kids to a public pool, and the kids love to swim. So it's really been nice for our family. Like, you know, we can, get out there and we can swim for however long the kids want to swim. And, we stick water wings on my, less proficient swimmers, and it's really nice. So anyway, I'm totally looking forward to summer. I think it'll be a really great summer. And then, so yeah, talking about our sort of sideline soccer season with all the snow and rain in Denver, which, by the way, we're supposed to be getting more rain, this very weekend, you know, right in time for Mother's Day, right? So anyway, I'm trying to think what else, the other interesting things that, that happened this week. Oh, my middle schooler had her final choir performance, for the year. She's in a sixth grade mixed choir, and I should say, and then also a middle school girls or women's honor choir, and it was so lovely. I loved it. The concert was fabulous, and the men's honor choir, one of the highlights was the men's honor choir did this rendition of Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror, which was excellent. How much do I love that song? I know that makes me the consummate nerd. No, I did not say I was going to be talking about Michael Jackson on the show today, earlier, when I said what we were going to be talking about. And yet, here we are, and I'm talking about Michael Jackson. I have to say, I really like Michael Jackson's music, and I find Man in the Mirror to be a fabulous song. And the funny thing is, so this school, five of my kids go to this school that put the concert on, and it's a classical charter school, and there are two classical charter schools in our district, and the one we're at, it's right by my house, like it's very close to my house, which is the main, you know, one of the main reasons that we decided upon that one. And then the other one, it's like 20 minutes from me, but I guess the other one is like really, really by the book classical. Like, you know, their school uniforms are very formal and expensive, and they're, I heard, I don't know how true this is, but like I heard that, you know, they're not wanting to have really, I think they do cross country, but they're not wanting to have like much of a sports program, and they're just very, very, very classically based, which it's a classical school, right? And I love classical education, but our charter school is, while it's a classical school, it also has elements of, I don't know if you're familiar with Charlotte Mason, but some of that mixed in, and then also it's just a little more relaxed. I think the uniforms are more relaxed. We seem to have a more perhaps diverse range of learners at our school, and perhaps a more diverse socioeconomic spectrum. I think part of that is maybe because we are drawing students from the surrounding neighborhoods as well. I don't know. Anyway, and the director of the school, he told me one time, he said, we could never be that other school because I am just too laid back. And there's something nice about that, I think. It's a fabulous school, great administrators, good teachers. We love it. But anyway, all that to say, Michael Jackson was represented at the choir concert. I could not be more pleased, and it was great. So There you have it. There you have it. Okay, so before we move on to things like Donald Trump and also what I wanted to talk about in terms of, you know, doing foster care or adoption, which, by the way, have nothing to do with Donald Trump. I wanted to talk about Mother's Day and particularly the Mother's Day wars. I feel like for the past 5 years or so, every Mother's Day weekend, I am bombarded by these like negative, you know, posts on Facebook or statuses about how, like, don't be too happy it's Mother's Day because a lot of people are really sad on Mother's Day because maybe their mother has passed away, maybe they are unable to have children or have been unable to have children, at least up to this point. Perhaps they've lost a child. And, you know, look, like, I get it. I mean, I think I get it. I've had three miscarriages, and I can't imagine. I mean, I know how difficult each one of those was to get through, both emotionally and physically too. I can't fathom, you know, facing a situation of infertility, or, you know, losing a child. I get it. Like, there's a lot of stuff there, particularly how it relates to just a womanhood in general. And all of that to say, I get that Mother's Day brings with it, like, some yucky feelings for a lot of people. And let's face it, as a mom, look, it's not all roses. Like, being a mom is hard. Even when we're not talking about traumatic events, you know, like, being a mom is really challenging right now. We're trying to navigate with one of my kids, kind of there. I'm trying to navigate some stuff with them, or for them, with them, I guess. Just at school, in terms of academics and setting a 504 plan so they can get some accommodations in some areas where there's struggle. And for the first time, we're talking about medication for this child. And it is so hard. And again, like, none of those things are horrible, traumatic things, but it's stuff, right? It's stuff that, as a mom, you know, I have to deal with it and have to think through these things and weigh pros and cons and the risks of medication versus the risks of not, you know, treating with medication. And it's very difficult. So look, yeah, I don't think anybody is saying, like, yay, Mother's Day, being a mom is like all roses and all easy. I think it's actually quite the opposite. A friend of mine last year was so frustrated by all the negativity being projected on social media surrounding Mother's Day. And she was like, you know what? She's like, I feel like garbage about myself as a mom, like, every day of the year. Why can't I have one day to feel like I'm being honored and appreciated and to feel good about myself? Why can't I just have one day without people being, you know, negative about it or saying I shouldn't be celebrating because other people are sad? And I think she's right. Like, it is so hard. And we do struggle so much with just, you know, the insecurities that come with being a mother and making choices for our kids. So I'm just going to come out and say, I think Mother's Day is great. I wish everybody the best on Mother's Day, whether you're a mom or not. We're going to be right back talking some more. This is Brianna Helt on Just Showing Up.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Listening to Just Showing Up on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Brianna Helt. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in on this weekend, this Mother's Day weekend, I should say. Speaking of Mother's Day, of course, right before the break, I always say we, but really it's me because it's radio and it's not recorded live and I'm just talking to the wind. But no, I'm not talking to the wind. I'm talking to you. Anyway, I was talking about just sort of some of the negativity that dominates Mother's Day every single year now. And I don't know. I think, I was just saying, like, you know, being a mom is pretty tough. One day a year where kids make cards for their moms and I don't know. It's kind of nice. And I just don't think all the bad vibes are necessary. And I see it from all, you know, all corners, I guess. A lot of people are particularly frustrated, like, when churches recognize mothers. And I don't know. I have to say this, too. As a parent, as a mother to four children who lost their respective birth mothers or first mothers or however you want to say it, motherhood is important. And I just don't think that we need to shame priests for recognizing that importance once a year. I don't know. That's just a thought. And again, I get that Mother's Day can bring up a lot of painful things for a lot of people. And that's not to be glossed over or we don't need to pretend that that doesn't exist. It is a great opportunity to pray for people who long to be mothers but are not mothers as of yet. And all of that. So, please, before you send out negative vibes on Mother's Day, just remember that, like I said, you know, like my friend said last year, we feel like garbage about what we do as moms 364 days out of the year. What's one day where we can feel like, hey, what I do matters. I'm doing something good. I'm doing my best and it's good enough. By the way, I definitely subscribe to the good enough method of parenting, of mothering. That's kind of where I choose to live. Also on the topic of motherhood, I think we're going to talk about this now. So I wanted to talk about, this, the concept of fear and how it relates to the faith. And the background on this is I got an email from a reader this past week. It's a really sweet email. And they have some adopted kids and they were hoping to do, possibly do some sort of foster care in the future. And this woman was talking about how she feels afraid that not only the child or children would have issues that they struggle with, attachment issues or whatever, but also afraid of the loss of community. And this blog reader who emailed me is she's a Catholic woman, and it sounds like most of their circle is Catholic, and she's afraid because it sounds like their circle of Catholic friends, you know, they're not parenting kids from hard places. They're not parenting kids with, you know, psychiatric illnesses, mental illnesses, attachment issues, you know, kids dealing with grief and loss or past abuse or abandonment. And, you know, she said that it's scary. And yet she also knows that, you know, that God, that God wants these children to be cared for, and God wants us to love these children and to step out in faith. And it was a great email, and I really don't have any further like insights or thoughts to add to what she'd said. I mean, I think she's right. It is scary. There are a lot of unknowns when it comes to parenting children from broken backgrounds. And there are a lot of unknowns in parenting biological children too. You know, you can't know the future. You can't predict whether your child that you bore and raised from birth or from the womb, really, you know, you can't predict whether that child will go on to face, you know, like a crisis of addiction or mental illness. I mean, those things don't just happen in adoptive families or foster family situations. However, I think it is still, I would still say there are probably more unknowns when it comes to parenting kids from difficult backgrounds. One thing that is known, I would say, is that your child will, there will be challenges that your child will face if your child experienced early loss. And, you know, that's just part of the deal. And it's not necessarily going to be easy, but this reader that emailed me, you know, she didn't want to lose her community. And that, I think, is such a valid, legitimate, very real concern. I have written before somewhat extensively on my blog about, you know, raising kids with special needs or kids from hard places, and about how it can be extremely isolating for families. If you have a child that acts out or tantrums or has various needs that no other parent in your homeschooling co-op or catechesis of the Good Shepherd class can relate to, you, there is the potential to feel very, very isolated. And, you know, we've been there. There's a large adoption community in Denver, and or in the Denver area, I should say, the metro area. And, you know, I would say the vast majority of people we've encountered in that community are not Catholic. It is, however, a very, very supportive community of families. Some of the best people I have ever met in my life belong to this, you know, adoption community. They are incredible people. They would deny it if I said it, but they are heroes. Extremely inspiring people and good people, accepting people, just really a delight to spend time with, as are their children. And so, you know, we've been part of that circle. And then we also have, you know, our Catholic circle of friends. And my husband and I are very blessed to have very close friends who are Catholic, a number of friends who I feel like they accept us and love us and accept our kids for who they are. And we're very, very fortunate. I feel like we definitely have community in our lives. If that were to all go away, that would be incredibly difficult. And times where I have felt judged, or for lack of a better word, attacked, not physically attacked, obviously, and thank goodness, but no, like times where I have felt insecure or judged or whatever because of, you know, something one of my children has done, like, you know, one of my, you know, I have two adopted daughters who have Down syndrome. And so, you know, like not every single one of their behaviors, as you might say, is always socially appropriate. And that could really be said of any child, actually, but it's different with them because, you know, they have developmental delays. So, yes, on the outside, you look like you're 9 years old, but, you know, not all of the behavior is really typical of a 9-year-old. It's maybe more typical of a 5-year-old, or I don't know. It, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, times where I have felt judged or whatever, it's an extremely horrible feeling, and you feel so vulnerable. I think every mom feels so vulnerable when it comes to your kids and what they're doing and how they act, and so it's a tough thing to, it's a tough thing. And I would love to see churches, just church communities, really rally around families that have stepped out and are parenting challenging kids, or kids with past histories of loss, I think, or special needs, or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be an adopted child or a foster child, but it can be very isolating to have a child with special needs or whatever. And if anybody needs community, of all the people that need friendship and community, it's those people. It's people walking that long, hard road. And I don't know if it's fear that holds people back from being support to those families. Look, we don't all, none of us have perfectly behaved kids 100% of the time, or kids that act predictably 100% of the time. And yet all these expectations, and I don't know, it can be tough. I want to talk more about this when we come back. I'm your host, Brianna Held. I'm Just Showing Up.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Brianna Help, on Just Showing Up with Breadbox Media. So, before the break, I was talking about fear, and the fear of stepping out and adopting a child or becoming a foster family, the fear that not only those children will have challenges and struggles that will translate into your family having, you know, challenges and struggles, but also the fear of losing one's community. And the reason that is a fear is because when you're the only family raising kids from hard places, or dealing with a child, you know, a child with special needs, whether that child is adopted or not, it can become very isolating. And, you know, I can remember, so I have 4 adopted kids. 2 of my adopted kids have Down syndrome, and 1 of my adopted children has ADHD. And I think that, you know, I mean, I can remember. So our family, I mentioned this earlier today in the show, we used to homeschool. And prior to becoming Catholic, actually, our the homeschooling circles that I ran in actually included several adoptive families. And yet when we became Catholic and we joined our Catholic co-op, our Catholic homeschooling co-op, you know, I kind of stopped attending the Protestant homeschooling group that I would go to off and on. And, you know, I didn't spend as much time with those people. And so in the Catholic homeschooling co-op, yeah, I mean, we were this big, huge, ginormous family with, you know, transracially adopted children, 2 of whom had, you know, significant special needs. And we actually, my daughters with Down syndrome, we adopted them. They joined our family very shortly after we joined this co-op. And so, you know, I would be showing up with my kid that would cry when she saw food. Both of all 4 of my adopted kids came from a situation where they'd been, you know, institutionalized for a while. And so there were a lot of issues that we were dealing with, and everybody was so gracious and so kind. And some of those people are my closest friends. Some of those people in that co-op are my closest friends today. And we've just been very fortunate to have a really solid community around us. And, you know, like the older people at our parish overall, we have really good relationships with them too. Most people know our family, or not, maybe not most people, but a lot of people there know our family, and we have a good situation. But I will say that that is not the case for everybody. And I will also say that that's not to say I haven't occasionally experienced hard situations where maybe I have felt a little isolated, or, oh my goodness, like, it's really hard, you know, being that mom or whatever it might be. So anyway, so the first thing I wanted to say about all of that is that it is scary. It is scary to step out in faith and say, Lord, I'm giving you my yes. I'm moving forward with this adoption, or I'm moving forward to be a foster parent. The situation, the reality is that there always has been and always will be a global orphan crisis. There are many, many children here in the United States and abroad that are in need of a family. And I absolutely consider myself an advocate of adoption and foster care for children in need of homes, in need of families. And I really believe that God cares so much for these children. I believe that God's design, God's plan is for a child to grow up, be raised in a family. And so I find this very compelling. And, you know, people, the first thing people want to talk about is the money. Well, it's so expensive. Well, it's really not so expensive to be a foster family. In many cases, most cases, maybe there, you know, you get a stipend, you receive a stipend to help cover the costs. And you can do it through your county, or through some private agencies work with the counties to provide foster care. All of that to say, it's something very near and dear to my heart and can make an incredible difference in the life of a child. And there are tons and tons of ups and downs and unknowns and unexpected turns, and that's okay. I think, you know, God can work in all of that as well. And so, you know, I think also, though, that the fear that, man, this is going to be hard, my kid's going to struggle, we're going to struggle, that is a legitimate fear. And I think it's really good to really explore that and, you know, discern if your family, if this would be a good fit for your family. And, but as challenging as it all is, as hard as it is to suffer, as hard as it is to watch a child struggle or suffer or what have you, it is also incredibly fulfilling to see them succeed and to see them make progress and to see their little life just blossom. And success will look different for every single kid in every, you know, in all their unique situations, right? And sometimes it's sort of like grading on a curve, but you see that progress being made, and it's a beautiful thing. And there will absolutely be hard times, but still, you know, you see the Lord working, and it's beautiful. It is a good thing, even if it doesn't feel good all of the time, and even if there is brokenness along the way. So, and God will provide you, I think, with you know, with the graces to carry on. That's not to say that you should make decisions willy-nilly and, oh, God will take care of this, even though, you know, whatever. I'm not saying that. But anyway, so I would just encourage anybody to be brave and don't be afraid to look into providing foster care, and it'll be a beautiful thing. And then the other thing I would say is, we need to be a support, like, as you know, whether it's your neighborhood or your church community, whatever, we need to remember that, we need to be supporting these families. Maybe you are not in a place where you can be a foster parent right now or an adoptive parent right now, but you could certainly be a friend to one. You could be a safe, like, you could help provide a safe community for these families, and not act like this picture perfect cookie cutter, manifestation of a family is what every family will look like. It's messy. It is totally messy. This, parenting or fostering kids from hard places, and it's going to look messy. And we just need to welcome these families with open arms, with love, with mercy, and be friends to them. So that's kind of, I'll leave it at that. On that topic, I'm totally going to switch gears now. We just have a few minutes left and talk about all this election craziness. So Donald Trump, everybody's like all fired up about Donald Trump because Ted Cruz dropped out of the race, and then Governor Kasich dropped out of the race, and so now I guess the Republican nominee is going to be Donald Trump. And I am not a Trump enthusiast. I think the guy is a loon. But it's just been interesting to me. Like, there is so much. Okay, people are so concerned. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned. But I don't know. Like, I really consider myself an optimist. My personality is such that I'm pretty optimistic. I'm, people who know me well would say probably that, I'm a positive person. But maybe this, I don't know. Like, I feel like in this area, I am like a realist or maybe even a pessimist. Like, I feel like I see so many people that were so optimistic that we would get this great candidate and all this stuff, and now it's fallen through, and look what we're stuck with, and oh no, the world is ending. And I'm just not there. Like, maybe it's because my daily life is so full, parenting 8 children with 1 on the way, but I'm just sort of like, I don't expect that much out of politics, out of voters, out of candidates. I kind of assume everybody's corrupt and everybody's out for their own gain. It's like I see people saying, oh, Trump's only out for himself. I think a lot of these guys are, and girls, women. I don't know. So maybe that makes me a pessimist, but I'm kind of like, what does it matter? I mean, it matters. But, and the other part of it is, hey, this is what people wanted. This is what people voted for. I felt the same way about President Obama. I did not vote for President Obama. However, he was elected fair and square, and that's what people wanted. And okay, let's see how this goes. And I'm not trying to say that, people should disengage or not voice their consent or voice their consent. Dissent. They're dissent. I'm not saying people shouldn't do that, but I am saying that I just have a very low expectation of politics, and I think the media gets everybody fired up, and I think, people are just really fired up. So I don't know. It's interesting to watch. It's interesting to follow, but then at the same time, all the doom and gloom, I get a little tired of that. I don't know. Anyway, just some random thoughts. Until next time, I hope you all have a great week. Happy, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I am Brianna Helt on Just Showing Up.